All right, so we're just going to invite and welcome Alan Dowse to come forward and share with us this morning.
Good morning, MCC. Can you hear me? All right. Y'all made it in this morning in the snow. And the older I get, seems like the less likely I love snow, but I do like to see a little bit of it. I bought a snow plow about 3 years ago, and I've only used it twice in those 3 years. So last night about 9 o'clock, guess what Alan did? He got out and got that snow plow out, and I was buzzing around, went down, did my mom and dad's also at the same time. So it was all good. So let's pray this morning. Father God, we thank you that we can be here. We thank you that we serve a God that is unshakable, unchangeable. We thank you that we can invite this God that created the universe to be in our heart and to be in our person. We thank you for that. We pray for a time this morning you allow us to just to share what you've laid on our heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about your heritage. And so this is the last lesson on your heritage. And this morning we're going to talk about mixing the heritage. So many of us, there's all different ways of having a mixture. So we're going to talk about those different things. First, you have the husband and wife, you know, the average normal family. And so we're going to see if I figure out how to work this thing. Three family areas. Look at that. Awesome. Three family areas. We have the husband and wife. We have blended families. We all have single parents. And that's pretty much sums up the three different types of families that we have. So do we have any single parents here this morning that you were a single parent or you currently are a single parent? Would you raise your hands? Can I ask you, please just stand up for just a little bit. Just stand up for just a little bit. They got extra challenges. So let's lift our hands out to them and say, Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for their saying, I want to leave a heritage of godly inheritance on our children. So I pray right now, God, that you'll give them wisdom as they raise these children, as they've gone through it, and as they're just touching them, and be blessed in Jesus' name. Allow them to just sow in you into every situation that they're in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So before we get into that, I want to talk about if you don't have children, you can influence other people's children. So I was thinking back about that, and I did not talk to my brother Ken Boehner. So stand up, Ken. Ken walks in church this morning, and he's got this on. And right here in my notes is I was going to say, years ago, we'd be ready to leave church, and there would be my son Caleb talking to his dad, George, about the Cincinnati Reds and the Ohio State Buckeyes. And he walked in this morning, I went, okay, you're going to have to stand up during this time because we had no talk. He had no idea I was even speaking. And so George would be saying, Caleb, they got this new guy in the single A, and this guy's going to be a deal. He's going to be the game breaker for the Reds, and he's going to do this. And the Buckeyes, I think they're going to struggle with this team, but I think they got a shot at the national championship this year. We're going to get this new coach. And so the love for the Ohio State Buckeyes and Cincinnati Reds, the Boehner family, instilled, you know, in my children. Another one would be Angie Bush. Angie, give us a wave. All right. Angie Bush. Our children would be off at college and they'd call once in a while and, well, so what'd you do? Well, Angie Bush come out when we was in college and took us out to lunch. And she wanted to know how we were doing. And when Jenna was in 4-H, she did some sewing projects. Guess who helped her? Instill that into her. So just because you're not blessed with children, that doesn't mean that you can't have a huge influence on other people's children. So you can sow that into them also. So I wanted to make sure everybody understood that. So single parents, we've already said, you've got some extra challenges. So the scripture for that this morning is, if you come with us, we will share with you whatever good things the Lord gives us. Numbers 10:32. So there's a lots of bad things you can share, but my challenge is that you share the good things. That really concentrate on the good things. Is that going to take some extra work? It sure is. It's going to take some extra work to make sure that you're sharing the good things. Each of us in these families have a heritage to pass on to the next generation. Each of us do. All right. Blended families. The challenge I see here is we've got some relatives that are in blended families. And I've talked with them and they said, well, we have to have three different sets of clothes. Said, why do you have to have three different sets of clothes? Said, we got to have clothes when they're at dad's house, clothes when they're at mom's house, and clothes in transition. Because if you buy your son a brand new pair of blue jeans and it goes to mom's house, it might never come back. So you have clothes that you don't mind losing in the transition and clothes that they can only wear. So there's a lot of challenges of what you're going to do when you're not in control. And sometimes if the other part aren't Christians and don't believe in the values that you have to sort of strike all that out and erase it and try to go back. So there's lots of challenges when you're not in control. So it takes some extra prayer and some extra wisdom on which things am I going to focus on? Which ones are really important? Deuteronomy 28:13 says, the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands, the Lord your God, that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. So in this part here, I'd like to challenge you to be on top. Don't get down here in the bottom stuff. Be on top. There's going to be times when you have to keep your mouth shut. Going to be times when you can't do what you want to do. There's going to be times when you got to not say what you'd really like to say. I think the last time I shared, I talked about hitting the pause button. You know, as a Christian, you'd like to just hit the pause button and unglue on somebody. And then go back to being a Christian. It doesn't work that way. If you want to pass, because guess what? If you do that, that's what you pass on to your next generation too. And that's not the thing that you want to pass on. Over there. Hey. So this is the one that I feel you should talk about what you know about. And very blessed to have Kathy with us today. Give us a wave. So here in March, we're going to get to celebrate. Yeah. Good looking couple there, huh? Yeah. There's a few people here that was out there that day. 38 years of marriage here in March coming up. 38 years of marriage. That's a heritage we want to pass on to the next generation. My parents last summer celebrated 65 years of marriage. 65 years of marriage. That's a heritage that we want to pass on to the next generation. So we're very, very blessed to have that. Oop. There we go. Making a list. I heard of a guy that thought it was important to make a list. How many are list people? Anybody list people? I'm a list person. When I get a day off or it's on a Saturday, I make a list, especially in the summer. Cut the grass, spray the dandelions, empty the trash, boom, boom, boom. And sometimes I just write them down just so I can mark it off. You ever do that? I write it down just so I can check it off. I know I'm going to do it as soon as I get done, but I can check that one off. So I encourage you, if you're not a list person, somebody I know thought it was a good idea to have a list. And so you should start working on a list of things that you want to pass on. Because I've found if you don't make a list, you're probably not going to accomplish it. If you don't say, this is what I want to pass on, these are things I really want to work on. If you don't do that, you're probably not going to pass it on. Joshua, was he a leader? Leader. I think the Israelites in this time were really struggling on who they were going to serve. And some of them were saying, hey, we have better food in Egypt. Let's go back there. Some of them were saying, yeah, well, the gods in this country seem pretty good. They're not telling us we can't do this or can't do that. We can do whatever we want with those gods. Let's follow those. So Joshua 24:15, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates were the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And all three of these areas, this is a great thing to decide. We're going to serve God. We're going to serve God, and that's how it's going to be. So you've got to decide what you want to pass on. Each of us have things from past generations also. So now we're really mixing in all the different things here. So everybody here has had a mother or a father. Yeah. And they probably had a mother or a father. And they probably had a mother and a father. So there's past generations and there's good things to pass on. Sometimes there's, I don't like to call them bad things, but there's not so good of things to pass on. But we're going to focus on both of those this morning. It's a little bit dark, but you can see it. This is an old, rusty granary. And if you're traveling up to Bucyrus on Route 4, before you get into town, if you look off to the right, you'll see this. This is one of my customers. And you might say, that's just a rusty, old, junky old thing. Well, for photographers, he says, you won't believe how many people call me up and say, can we take our graduation pictures in front of your barn? Can we take some wedding pictures in front of your barn? And he's just like, you wouldn't believe how many people call me up. And it's like, well, you need to start charging them. You know, $25, get your picture taken. So you can say this is just a rusty old piece of junk, should be tore down. But he remembers being a little kid. This is a granary. They store grain in there. He remembers as a kid climbing up in that granary and cleaning stuff out because they used it when he was a little kid, and he's a little older than me now. So this hasn't really been in use for what it was intended for a long, long time. But there's some good things there, some good things. Some people think this is an amazing, I think this would be look great in a calendar, you know, in a picture of old barns. I think this would be a pretty cool picture for that. So I like to use the phrase, eat the fish and spit out the bones. Anybody like fish? I like fish. Yep, fish. Probably the best fish we ever ate was we were in England. And we ate fish just caught right out of the North Sea. Cod, big fillets. That's good eating. But you don't want to eat the bones, do you? You eat the bones, it's not good. And so in our walk and things that we want to pass on, I challenge you to find the fish and don't pass on the bones. Eat the fish, spit out the bones. Don't use those. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. I really believe this. I really believe this. I know when we were raising our children, we would talk to some parents and they would say, I can't wait till my kid turns 18 and they're out of the house. And we were extremely involved. Our kids were involved in a lot of stuff. And, you know, two instances when our oldest Caleb went off to school. He was on a wrestling team that he wrestled from when he was five, but he had middle schoolers. There was nine seniors that were together the whole from seventh grade on. And I talked to one of the dads like 6 months later, and I said, I'm really struggling with this. I said, I've been crying about every day for 2 months. And he goes, really? Me too. Because his son was one on that team. And he said, it's just sad that we know we're not going to get that again. So I encourage you to embrace where they're at. I know the Sparlings, when we first met them, they said, well, we have seven children and six different baseball and softball leagues. And I'm going, how do you do that? But they come up with a plan so they can support them. So I challenge you to try to find the things. All right. That's Kate, McKenna, Morgan, and Kanan. The two blondes are sisters and the boy and the girl are brother and sister. So here's our four grandchildren. And we want to pass on things to them. We want to make sure that we're passing on the good things, not the not so good things. We just found out recently that we're going to have a third granddaughter that'll look like the two blondes in June. And so we'll have another one that we can pass on. And these are important things to pass on. Two types of heritage. So you got the good heritage and you got the not so good heritage. So Psalms 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to how many generations? All generations. So I believe as we go through, there's good things that you can take from every generation, and you can take those good things, and you can pass those on. So this is a picture of my grandfather's family. Can anyone pick out who my grandfather was? The tall guy in the back, that's my grandpa. Yep, that's Richard Earl Dowse. So if you look to the guy just to the left of that, that's my great uncle Elmer. And if you've ever heard of Martha Dowse Dance Studio, that's her dad. Yeah. So Martha and my dad are first cousins. So there was some things that my grandfather passed on that maybe weren't so good. And there was some amazing, great things that my grandfather passed on. He was a pretty stern man. You didn't really cross him much. What he said, you better do, or you're not going to be real happy. But the man, from every time I know him, honest as you could be. You know, he said one thing. He said, there's two things about being honest. You've got to be as honest and as upright as you can be. It's also your responsibility to make sure the other guy's that way too. So if somebody owed him money, he was about making sure that they knew that they should probably be paying him back. Because he said there's two parts to honesty. Your honesty, and make sure other people are honest too. So sometimes you didn't want to cross them on the wrong side. So next is, we'll flip pages here, the not so good. What do you do about the not so good stuff that you have? Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Once you come to know Jesus Christ, was you just perfect from that day forward? You gotta work at it. It's just not gonna happen overnight. It's a continual process. I was sharing with some folks the other day, I lead a men's Bible study, and we were talking about, I thought I had dealt with that. And then, do you ever have something in the past that you thought you had figured it out and you were good, and then it pops its ugly head up again? And I went through that situation, and I was sort of angry at myself, and I was asking God, why am I having a problem with this? Because I thought I dealt with this. And if you ever see the old big trucks had coil springs on the back instead of leaf springs. And God showed me a picture that you dealt with it when you were on this part of the coil spring, and now you're up here, so you have grown in my walk, but it's just at a different level that you have to deal with that same thing again. So it doesn't mean that I threw away everything I did the last 10 years, but it meant that I was supposed to move forward in a new relationship and a new challenge that I was supposed to move forward in that thing to deal with. And so I felt still mad that I was dealing with it, but I did feel better that everything I'd done the last 10 years wasn't just thrown away, because God said, but you've grown. You've went this way. So Kathy and I made out a list. And so we started talking about some things that we want to pass on. So we're going to touch on some of Kathy's things and some of our things. And if you want to adopt these on your list, if you want to write them down, you can do that too. So the first thing for Kathy is many times she'll say, I don't think this caught God by surprise. So if you've talked to her much about situations, you'll probably hear that. And I've probably heard it more than any of the rest of you. Because I'll be coming home and complaining about, I can't believe so-and-so said that. I can't believe that. Can you believe that? And she'll go, did that catch God by surprise? And when she says that, I'm not usually real happy when she first says it. But as I think about it and pray about it, maybe I need to figure out what my part is on this instead of being so upset about it. Let's figure out what Alan's role is in this and how I can work through this situation. Number two would be writing an encouraging word to others. Anybody ever receive a written encouraging word from Kathy? How many have received a written encouraging word from me? Yeah, about four. That's right. That's about four. About four. That's very correct, about four. So she has this amazing gift. It's her gift. Sometimes she tries to say, you need to do this too. So if you ever got one from me, it's probably because I was told to. Because I'd rather just call you up and say, hey, how's it going? But that's the thing that she wants to pass on. And so what's really neat that she's doing with this is for each of our grandchildren, she started a prayer journal. And she started that prayer journal, and she, every part through their life, she's writing down their age and what she prayed for them during that time. And when they graduate high school, she's going to give it to them. That's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. And I'm like, wow, that's going to be really good, really good. Another thing she wants to pass on is being a great cook and a baker. Anybody eat any of her food? Yeah. So this is the picture I call Kate the Baker. If you look really close, I'm not sure what she had on her toes in that before that, but I know what they ever made did taste good. But I'm not sure where her feet were before this picture happened, but she loves that. She gets up there on the counter, and she's just making that dough, and she's having a great thing. Then about prayer warrior. So along with encouraging word is being a prayer warrior. And the next picture shows there's all different ways of being a prayer warrior. But for Kathy is using those two gifts and put them together. The prayer and writing down, this is what I prayed for you. Morgan, our oldest granddaughter, when she was 6 months old, she about died. She had meningitis. She was in children's hospital, and she didn't move. And I remember going down there and visiting at the hospital, and she had no improvement in 24 hours, none. And it was pretty much, I was convinced if God didn't intervene or the doctors, the medicine, whatever happened, she wasn't going to be here in 24 hours. And through the things, you know, different things happened, and within less than 2 days after that, she was chasing Kathy around the house, crawling, chasing Kathy around at their house. So it was an amazing miracle. But was it a struggle? Man, we had a ton of people praying right then. It makes a big, big difference. So Alan made a list. First one is, I'm glad this doesn't change where I will spend eternity. Some of you may not know, sometimes I can get a little intense. Just a little. So years ago, we had some pretty good softball teams that I was part of, and had a close friend, Tom Hardy, and sometimes things would get maybe a little bit intense. That'd be a good word. And Tom Hardy would go, guys, Church League softball, Marion, Ohio. And we would go, okay, Tom, yeah, we need to calm down. We're playing Church League softball in Marion, Ohio. Let's don't get too excited about this. So in the 90s, I was farming 350 acres. I lambed out 100 ewes a year and worked full-time for Pillsbury in the factory. And my temper and my stress level, my intensity was at a lot higher level than it is today. And before drones were a common tool on the farm, sometimes my tools would actually take flight through the shop. Always tried to throw them away from my son or my brother, but sometimes they would take flight and land up against the wall and hit. And they weren't drones, so it wasn't a good thing. So one fall, I was cutting soybeans in a field just down from our house, and I just unload, and I go back to the field, and the rear wheel falls off the combine. We're not talking a flat tire. Combine flat on the ground, back in. And the way the field was, I couldn't just go home to get a jack and blocks to try to jack it up to see what the problem was. I had to drive out all this way, come across the culvert, and go all the way back to the house, and there was my combine right there as I'm driving by. And as I'm driving by, looking at it, I'm getting a little more upset. And it was one of the clearest inner voice words I ever heard was God said, aren't you glad that doesn't change where you're going to spend eternity? It changed me that day. It changed me that day. Not saying I still don't get intense sometimes, but nothing after that day like I did before. Because I'd look at it and go, if it doesn't change where I'm going to spend eternity, it's really not that important. Let's think about it, folks. Where we're spending eternity is a pretty important deal. If it doesn't change that, then why are we getting so upset about it? And why are we making such a big deal out of it? Wasn't very fun driving by that combine, though. Next to be, we like to call it Mannequin Man. So years ago, we were listening to a Christian comedian, and he said, if your wife is standing in front of a full-length mirror, and she say, honey, do these slacks make my hips look big? This is what you should do. Because if you blink, if you clear your throat, if you say anything, it's probably not a good thing. It's probably not a good thing. So many times we'll ask each other stupid questions, and Kathy look at me and she goes, Mannequin Man, right? I go, yep. I'm not saying a word. It's a whole lot better. So we have a lot of fun with that. And it's a good thing to use. It gets you, guys, saves a lot of trouble, let me tell you. It's a good thing to do. Next is I really want to pass on to our grandkids the love of singing and playing guitar. For many of you didn't know, I used to lead worship here with a guitar, Mike Curtis and I. I do the trumpet now, but I still play with the grandkids. And so at a young age, they'll come up, Papa, guitar, and they'll get it out and they want to play. They like to run in circles and dance and run through the house, I think, more than sing. But they really enjoy playing that. And we got doing the hokey pokey to put your head in, and they have fun. But one song that we probably do every time, and you can sing with me, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light, wave your light, line, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So we sing that almost every time. And they won't let Satan blow it out. So we do that. And so that's the thing that we want to pass on to our kids, to the next generation. Next would be how to be a shepherd. We got to looking at some numbers, and my grandfather, that's the picture I wanted to show. This breed of sheep is called the Shropshire breed. Just like dogs, you know, you have German Shepherds and Collies and Labrador Retrievers. This is the Shropshire breed. So my grandfather bought purebred Shropshire sheep in 1925. And they've been on our farm continually since then, since 1925. So some people did some record keeping. We can't claim the world, but in the U.S. we are the longest continuous breeders of the Shropshire breed in the nation. And so every year the grandkids come out and we catch a little lamb and they hold them. And I think we've had some folks from here brought their children out before too and to see them. And there's a little bit more to do than just dumping the dog food in when you're a shepherd. There's a little bit more to do with that than just nothing about, I feed my dog every day too, but he takes a whole lot less care than these sheep do. I can guarantee you that. So this is another thing that we want to pass on. Next would be, if you've heard me speak very much and talk, I believe there's four spiritual food groups. Four spiritual food groups in our diet, and I just do not eat salad, so I'm not very good on the four physical food groups. I like meat and potatoes. Not a big salad fan. I've probably eaten maybe 10 bites of salad my entire life. I just don't like it. But I believe in the spiritual part, there's four spiritual food groups, and there's not too many guarantees, but I guarantee you, if you work on doing these four spiritual food groups on a regular basis in your life, you'll have a better life. You really will. Number one is read the Word. Read the Word. And folks might say, well, I just don't have time. How many people have a cell phone? Wave your cell phone. You got it with you? Everybody got it? I used to not be a techie guy. Now Brant Zucker says I'm his techie informant. So if you pull up your Bible app today, on my Bible app, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you to, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Nothing else. That. Every day. Every day. Next would be prayer. I challenged some folks a while back that when you drive to work, pick a couple mailboxes or a couple road signs and shut off the radio and pray. Pray about whatever you want to pray about. There's these first two, as a Christian, there's really not much of an excuse that you're not doing those every day. I encourage you to read more than one verse a day, but if you just do one verse a day and pray every day, your life's going to be changed. Your life's going to be changed. Third is fellowship with other believers. I think it's extremely important. That's one that's a little more difficult to do every day. I mean, like when Jose worked for us, a lot of times he could come into my office, we'd talk. We could have fellowship with as Christian believers because we worked in the same place. But that's not always the case. But guess what? Home groups, Sunday school classes, Sunday morning being here together, we learn from each other. We grow because you're part of my life. My life is different because people in this church have sown into my life. And I'm believing that your life is different because Kathy and I have got to sow into your life. And so it's important stuff, this fellowship with other believers. Going into a trailer and say, us four, no more, is not healthy. It's not healthy. Fellowship with other believers. And last is worship. Mike and Gene, thanks for leading our worship department. Let's give them a hand. It's important. A lot of times if I'm having one of those days where Kathy's going to tell me, you think God caught God by surprise? I'll turn on 90.1 out of Upper Sandusky, or turn on K-Love Station. Listen to some Christian music. We're blessed to have Shiloh working with us at the office now. And I'll walk in her office and she'll have Christian music playing in the office. And I like that. And so it's a way that you can actually feed yourself, feed your spirit. You have to feed this spirit. If you don't eat anything for 30 days, you know, a lot of people go on 40-day fast, but I've never heard of anybody. I mean, how many days is it you can go without drinking water? Like 3 days? If you don't take in any fluids for 3 days, you're probably going to be in serious trouble. Your body organs are going to shut down. How many of us have went 3 days and not fed our spirit? Yeah. That's not good. We got to really work on that. So do the worship. The most important thing is, what are you going to do about Jesus? Years ago, I was studying different cults, and I was teaching high school Sunday school here. I was teaching different kids were going off to college. I wanted them to know what they're going to run into. Because you guess what? You go off to school, you're going to run into all kinds of stuff. And so I was studying the different. And we studied them to what they were. The bottom line is, what do they do about Jesus? I mean, I grew up in the Methodist Church. If you don't believe that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, third day he rose from the dead, and he ascended up into heaven. If you don't believe that basic Apostles' Creed that we would recite every Sunday when we were kids, then that's not a Christianity. That's just somebody getting together and talking about stuff. They're not the Christian faith. So make sure that number one is Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life. Be a light. It's a long walk. The next thing we're going to show here, this was taken, and it's a little dark, it's hard to see. This is taken out of my driveway this summer. And right about here, No combine. It's a little tiny church called the 16 Methodist Church because it's in the 16th section in Marion County. And it, years ago, was a German-speaking church. It was all German. And if you're out my way about 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning, every Sunday somebody rings the bell at 9 o'clock in the morning and says church is about ready to start. And as I looked at this picture, it was one of them nights this summer, and I went, wow. Pulled up my phone, snapped a picture. I wish those electric lines weren't in there. But I got to look at this picture, and I thought, we serve a God that created this. Wow. I mean, look at that. And he's concerned about the 10 or 15 people that are coming every Sunday to be there. He's concerned about you. The same God that created the universe, the heavens. He wants to know why Alan's upset about that thing. He shouldn't be concerned about it. He wants to know everything in your life. He wants to be part of that. But if we don't allow him to be part of that, that's our fault. So we serve an amazing God. We're going to have people come forward that's going to share up here. So the summary this morning, I challenge you, make a list. Make a list. Try to do that list before next Sunday. Try to have that list of things that you want to pass on to whoever. You know, I appreciate my brother Ken. I still can't believe when he walked in with that Reds hat on and the Ohio State shirt the same day. What things that you want to pass on to the next generation? To people that you meet every day. What do you want them to think about when they think about Alan Dowse, Kathy Dowse? What do they think about? What do they stand for? What have they done? Make sure that you're passing on the good. There's a lot of bad that we can pass on. But if we focus on passing on the good, that will be much better. Jesus is Lord. Remember, Jesus is Lord. If you don't know him today, today's a great day to come forward and say, I want to know Jesus Christ. If you haven't been passing on, if you've been passing on more not so good stuff than good, and you want God to do some work in you, come forward. They'll pray for you for that. If there's a healing that you need or a loved one that you need prayer for healing, I believe the guy that created that can definitely take care of our prayer needs today. If everything I believe and everything I share with is false. We shared it in Sunday school class about we were deceived, right? Right, Brother Ray? If we were deceived, and this is all just wrong. You just find out you die and it's all wrong. And we just float around in the spirit forever. Pastor Tom and I, we're good. But if what I believe is true, and I believe it's true, then you're going to want to serve God. Because eternity is a long time. I've shared with some friends before, some clients and some friends, well, where do you think you're going to spend eternity? One guy said, hell. So I believe you can change that. I don't. I live my life. It's the way it is. That's not what I believe. And I shared with him, if we all just float around, then you and I are good. But if what I believe is true, I want to spend eternity with you in heaven. It's a much better place. Much better place. So would you all stand with me this morning? So we're going to pray. So if any of these areas have touched you today, if you want to work harder on passing on that, if you're that single parent, and you need more prayer, if you want to just lift your hands this morning, we're going to pray for ones that want extra prayer to help you through this situation. Maybe you've passed on too many not so good things. You want to pass on more good things. So Father God, we just thank you this morning, Lord. We pray this morning that you'll help us to focus on the things that we should focus on. Eat the fish and spit out the bones, Father God. We pray right now that you'll change us. Continue to work on us as we work out our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.